It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Yeah, I think statistically the best defense in the league right now. Their front seven, they get after it, and they got two really supreme edge rushers. You know, the last couple times we've played them, they've gotten the best of us. So taking that to account, they don't let up. We're going to have our hands full, but put our best foot forward out there Monday night.
We're looking forward to competing on Monday night, looking forward to the environment that is around Western New York on primetime games, and hearing our 12th man and that Bills Mafia guiding us all the way through all four quarters.
Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat, racing to the end zone. Is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen. Looking deep down the right sideline, he overshot it and it's intercepted. Picked off by Christian Benford. Tua back by himself in the pocket and he's sacked. Taken down by Ed Oliver. Ride him, Cowboy.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey everybody, happy game day. It's there's this strange thing happening outside. Water is falling from the sky. Not a lot, but there is some sort of moisture in the air falling. Anyone have an idea what that is?
No.
It's been a long time.
Never seen it in my life.
I feel like days of my youth I can remember water falling from the sky.
What should we call it?
Rain.
Let's call it rain. How come that wasn't called waterfall? The first person that... And it literally is water falling from the sky. Waterfall. Hey, it's water falling out right now.
Isn't it called rainfall?
It is called rainfall.
But that's what I'm saying. Before the word rain would have been invented. Which, who knows? Was that 1,000 years ago?
Josh, now you've got a job. I know it's a Bills game day and you're busy, but now we need the etymology of rain.
Yes. Exactly.
6:05. This is Bills Jags, so things get weird.
Mm-hmm.
Things get very weird when the Bills play the Jags, and I guess we have started with the definition or the origin rather of rain.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as bad as yesterday though, where there was fog as thick as you could possibly believe.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
we played golf, Josh. Joe and I played yesterday morning, and it was hit a golf ball, watch it travel, and like, all right, there it goes.
It's somewhere in there.
Just start like walking. Firework. It just goes.
It was like the beginning of a horror movie where like the ball goes into the mist. Like, all right, now we go find it into the where you can't see anything.
Yeah. Good morning. Happy Buffalo Bills football Monday. It's game day. I, for one, am really getting ready to get into a Sunday routine. This Thursday, Monday nonsense, although the stress-free Sundays to a point. You know, there's benefits there. You can watch other games. If you did that, then that's great, too. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe with you and taking your calls. Okay, I have a quick thing for you on the league.
Okay.
So I watched the Sunday night game, and watching Chiefs-Falcons, I was prepared to come in today if the Chiefs had lost that game, which it was competitive.
Yeah,
a lot of games are competitive, so that's not exactly a shock.
They were down for a good chunk of it, like not till the third quarter they really got the lead.
Yeah, the Falcons went out and scored on the first drive of the game.
Yeah,
and I was ready. I didn't tweet it because I thought people would say you're a jinx, but I was ready to come in today, Joe, if the Chiefs had lost and say, are the Bills the only good team in football? Because maybe the Vikings are good, but here are the Niners, who look like kind of trash right now.
They're so injured.
That's true. Eagles, the Bengals, the Ravens
look good until the fourth quarter starts, and they just can that team not hold a lead? It used to be they couldn't come back in games. Now it's they can't hold a lead.
Yeah. So the Chiefs did win. So this point is kind of it's gone to a point. But 3 weeks in, a lot of these teams kind of still look like they're finding their way in the preseason. You know, I think Dallas is 1-2, and I don't think Dallas is. I don't think they should be this bad.
No.
Their defense is a disaster, of course.
Houston had a dog game yesterday.
I mean, the Vikings defense is ruining people. They ruined the Niners the week before, for the most part.
Yeah,
and C.J. Stroud threw two picks. He didn't look very good at all. So, all right, we've got a funky start to the year, but the Bills are sitting here 2-0, ready to go to 3-0. And on the undefeated teams, it would be what? Bills, Chiefs, Steelers.
No, there they are, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll let you know when I believe
Mike
in that.
Mike Tomlin, again, here we go. For the eighth consecutive year, we're sitting here in September going, debating, are the Steelers good?
No.
Are they for real?
I'm excited for them to talk themselves into a $200 million contract for Justin Fields.
I'm excited for them to go 10-7, lose in the wild card by 35, and then not be in position to draft a quarterback because their quarterback's probably actually not good enough. He did look actually pretty good yesterday, though, I'll say. Justin Fields. They get a whole quarter against Taylor Heinicke, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, every break, man, that could go their way. Oh, they're the worst. Hey, the Panthers might be good now.
Man, the Panthers.
Panthers might be good.
They might be good. Deontay Johnson had 100 yards and a touchdown.
Andy Dalton, I think, they scored the most points in the league yesterday.
They scored the most points in the league.
Yeah.
And he is the only quarterback in the league this year to throw for 303 touchdowns in a game.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton is the only one.
The first one to do it. Yep. That is incredible. Yeah.
No one has been old takes exposed faster than the entire football internet community that said last week Bryce Young is still good. That offense doesn't do anything for him. It's an organizational mess. Andy Dalton, 303 touchdowns. Oh, I guess not.
36 points later.
I guess it's not that. I guess it is Bryce Young. Whatever. Maybe it's not a good fit for him, and it's a better fit for Andy Dalton.
Well,
okay.
The league yesterday was very good for all the teams you would think, like, oh, are they a contender? How good are they? Was, I think, 5.5-point favorites or better went 0-4 yesterday. Not even just like against the spread, like they just lost.
And the Bills are?
The Bills are
5.5.
Are they 5.5 or was it a little lower than that?
I think it's 5.5.
But like the Texans lost to the Vikings. That might not even been 5.5, but that was a favorite. The Bucs got smoked by Bo Nix.
One of the weirder games of the day.
Like what?
Yep.
What was the other one? The other one was, the Rams winning that game outright.
That game was over.
That game looked like it was over.
Kyle Shanahan, maybe bad at game
the Browns
management.
The Browns was the other one. The Browns were a 5.5-point favorite over the Giants. They lost by a touchdown.
The Bills are 5.5-point favorites.
Are they? Okay.
Week three.
Weird things happen. Although, this would not be weird anymore.
No.
Because it would be this week, all the 5.5 or better point favorites lost. So for it to be weird, the Bills have to be the only team that won.
The Bengals are 7.5-point favorites. So
against the Commanders?
Yep.
Yeah.
In the doubleheader tonight.
But there was some weird football. Yeah. Were you like in tune on all the 4 o'clock games yesterday?
Yeah.
Because it was maybe what? It was a 4 o'clock game. At 6 p.m.,
all the games were over.
Right.
And then
by 7 p.m., every game was good. Like every game was a one score game by 7 p.m.
Yep.
Even the Cowboys game got to be a one score game. The Rams ended up winning. And the Cardinals kind of got screwed over yesterday.
The Cardinals,
but they were kind of in it.
Definitely got screwed. Sometimes it's amazing how big you can get of a screw job in the NFL. And it's just kind of like, yeah, the refs got this one wrong. This was a 14-point got it wrong. The Lions end up going down and scoring a touchdown on a drive where Jared Goff did throw a pick six. And they waved it off and said it was the 2-minute warning. When it wasn't.
Right. They showed the replay, and the snap was with 2-0-1.
Yes. And the most amazing thing about that is the Lions clearly wanted to snap the ball, and then Goff did throw it, drop back, and they throw a pick six, and he immediately points the officials like, actually 2-minute warning. And they gave it to him. What a gift.
Yep.
Absolutely incredible. So, I mean, there's another week of watching the rest of the league. The Dolphins are dead in the water. Absolutely dead in the water if they don't get somebody. I mean, they should have traded for Andy Dalton last week. Maybe they signed Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if they can let their entire season just go away, but that's what's going to happen.
I can't, that game yesterday, I was wondering the whole time, how did they keep this guy over Mike White even? Because Thompson can't get his team to the line of scrimmage. Remember in the final drive against the Bills in the playoff game where they could not get a playoff? They took they spent two of their timeouts. They took a false start penalty. Like they just couldn't even get the play in. And hey, similar atmosphere, right? Like at Seattle, it's loud. And Thompson couldn't get his team to the line. McDaniel, I think, spent three or four, maybe it was four timeouts in the game, not on game management, just on my quarterback can't get the playoff before 0 seconds. And then he looked bad. So, I mean, and he's hurt. So they're going to do something at quarterback. Or is it just going to be Tyler Huntley? I learned that Tim Boyle, who had one touchdown in college, is still out here in the National Football League. Must be the nicest guy of all time because he's getting opportunities. But they're so cooked. They are until Tua comes back or they get a reasonable backup. They are so, so cooked, the Dolphins. Uncompetitive. Completely uncompetitive.
Yep. And how do you not get so frustrated if you're Hill or Waddle or anybody, any good player? Yeah. You know, one guy goes down and your team is, your season's over. It's, you might not think Tua is great. He's clearly good enough to keep them competitive in the league when they are an uncompetitive team without him.
Yeah, McDaniel, like, I do want to see them, I want to see them with a more competent guy in there than what they currently have. But the two that played yesterday, at least, Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle, I'd like to see what they look like with a little bit more competent. Maybe Tyler Huntley will be that. But the thing that Shanahan gets credit for, which is you just put any quarterback in there, doesn't matter. That offense is going to work. That has not quite worked yet with Mike McDaniel.
No, and that's also happening for Matt LaFleur. I mean, LaFleur has gone in with Malik Willis and been just fine.
Right. So, again, I want to kind of see McDaniel with a little bit of a better quarterback, but he, you can't quite say to a T that, like, hey, Tua, you could just put anybody in there and they can run that offense. Like, so far through a couple years, Tua is the only one that can really run that offense.
Yep. Good morning, 803-0550. What you saw from the league, I guess, you know, you had that stat about 5.5-point favorites going over. Yeah. We're hoping the Bills just avoid a letdown, right? 5.5,
yeah.
Prime time, home game, playing well, it would seem. You are not 100% healthy, but, you know, things have gone just fine for this team. They've been pushed a little bit. Arizona pushed the Bills. Miami did not. That game was uncompetitive for most of it. Bills get out in front, and the defense kind of locks things up. They knock Tua out. Like, everything about that game was running out the second half. So we've yet to – I mean, I know the Arizona game exists, and I don't want to act like they weren't pushed in that game. But Arizona did nothing in the second half, and it was the Bills in control from the second half to the end of the game pretty comfortably, although they did win by 6, and they had to get a play on the final game, play of the game.
So there could have been a pass interference at the end of
could
it
have,
that could have swung the game.
The game's going to feel like, to me, that they blew out Arizona, even though I know they had to come back from down double digits to win it.
It's because you've seen them for 6 quarters straight look dominant, right?
Sure, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they've stopped punting the ball. Josh Allen has been great. They're number one in the NFL in EPA per play, passing the ball. Although, let me check if Andy Dalton has passed him, because that might have happened. I mean, the Bills, you know, it's been a good start to the season. I'd say their defense has been much, I don't want to say much, the defense has been more impressive than the offense. Is that an easy yes? Has the defense been more impressive to you than the offense for the Buffalo Bills in 2 games?
Do I have to couch it, though, with, because, well, no, maybe it doesn't matter about the injuries. It might be more impressive because they're doing it with backups, but I don't know. The offense is scoring.
Yep.
Right? They are scoring. They are not yet having to play the card that we're all kind of wondering if they have, which is if someone pushes you for real, like all the way through a game, can you just drop back to pass and throw it, not all the time, but can you throw it 70% of the time and succeed doing that? To their credit, even though it's, you know, it's 8 quarters of football, and maybe they only had to play like this for 1 quarter of football, but I pointed out last week there was a stretch in that Cardinal game where they passed it.
Mm-hmm.
There was about a quarter and a half, maybe, where they had to throw it to get back in that game, and they did. They did great, but again, out of 8 quarters, how much have they had to throw it for? 1?
Yeah, not that many.
So and I don't really know what that looks like yet, but when they're running it, and when they're running it with Allen, and you throw in the little bit of passing, you just mentioned they're first in EPA when they are passing, I don't know, it's probably pretty close. I think both units have looked pretty darn good so far.
Yeah.
Defense, I might vote, just because it's incredible to me still that they're doing it with like 4 backups in there.
If there's one thing to watch on this offense to see, you know, we've got all of our indicators. There's a lot of fancy slogans, everybody eats, balance, blah, blah, blah. One number on Allen I've seen that is, whatever, we'll see how long it holds up, is his scramble rate. But he's not alone. Quarterbacks in the NFL are scrambling at a record rate this year. And quarterbacks as a group are on pace to break the rushing title that quarterbacks hold in a given season. And Allen, in his first two games, I think I saw his scramble rate is actually pretty high. We've talked about this before, right? His scramble rate, I think it peaks at 12% in previous years.
Yeah.
You know, your dropbacks and then scramble, whether it's nobody's open or he decides to pull it and go himself. Earlier this year against Arizona, he recalled a play where he scrambled, maybe the one he jumped over Buda Baker. He said he could have thrown the ball to Keon Coleman, but he decided to take it himself. So it's not exactly cut and dry that if he runs, no one was available. Sometimes he just calls his own number. But scramble rate for the Bills, scramble rate for the league is up, and I don't know what that really is going to mean long term. We want Allen to, of course, play his game and whatever, score points, but also stay healthy. He does have a hand injury. He's on the injury report with a hand injury suffered on a scramble. So it's something for me to watch. Does the offense look like it's going to get its easy button stuff? Is Kincaid, is Shakir, are these two going to be able to continue to eat over the middle of the field while the guys in the boundary are just kind of like spot duty? Because that's what it's been so far. It's been James Cook, it's been Cook, Shakir, and Kincaid. And that's really it. Like, the everybody eats thing, that didn't really happen against Miami. Although, you know, nobody really ate because the offense didn't need to do anything.
So far,
James Cook ate.
Like, MVS hasn't eaten, right? Like, he hasn't even had a bite yet. Samuel has not eaten. I would not qualify. He's, what, three catches, maybe?
I mean, he had a catch for 3 yards against Miami.
He had an end zone target against Arizona, but he hasn't eaten. So, like, there's time for these guys, too, I guess. But
yeah.
But what you're seeing is, you know, I don't know if you can qualify it as, hey, everybody eats, if Curtis Samuel has a game every six games and MVS has one big catch every month. If it's game to game to game that it's Samuel or that it's Cook, Shakir, Kincaid, like it's those three.
Yep.
Like every team has other guys that make catches that have games. Right, Juwan Jennings just had a game yesterday with like 180 yards and three touchdowns. Is he going to do that in 4 weeks when everybody's healthy? Like, just, you know, guys have games. Tutu Atwell yesterday for the Rams. I don't know how different the Bills are on that front than others if it looks like what it has, which is, I think, Shakir and Cook and Kincaid are probably going to be a large part of this offense.
Yeah, I think so. And you're already hearing them wanting to get Kincaid more involved. Brady said it. We want to get him. We want to make sure we get him more involved. Not a direct quote, but get him going. The idea that Kincaid has not been a big time producer. Let's be real. You drafted him to produce, right? You drafted Keon Coleman to produce. I'm ready. That's one thing I'm ready for today. Go ahead and give me a Keon Coleman breakout game. How about, you know, 75 and a touchdown on eight catches or something like that. Let's see a little Keon Coleman. Whether that's give him a screen pass, we can see some yards after catch because he's supposed to be really good yards after catch. Bully ball with the ball in his hands. Whether he's going to moss a guy, whatever. Malik Nabers had 14 targets yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Rashee Rice had a bunch of targets as well. The Kansas City offense runs through Rashee Rice because I don't know if you know this, Joe. Travis Kelce retired. Travis Kelce's career is, knock on wood here, over. He's retired. He's gone.
He can't. He looks very slow. I'll say that. He looks very slow.
Does he need a month to get in shape here? Because Travis Kelce is retired.
Is he out of shape or is he just old?
I don't know. He's not a part of their offense.
Like, I don't know. Remember Antonio Gates at the end where he was still out there running button hooks, but he couldn't really run? He was just kind of fast walking?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's starting to look like that. How many catches did he have yesterday? Did he even get to, like, did he have three in the game? Like, he just... I saw at one point during the game someone tweeted out that Noah Gray now has more receiving yards on the year than Kelce does.
Kelce had 4 for 30.
4 for 30.
Kelce has 8 catches on the year in 3 games.
And like very little, like 60 yards, maybe 70 yards.
69 yards.
All right. I mean, he is someone that they're still paying attention to. I saw a little graphic yesterday. They are still double teaming him But maybe teams are going to let off that a little bit because he doesn't look that dangerous.
No, because Rice
is the one.
Because Rice is the one that's definitely going to beat him up.
12 catches on 14 targets.
Yeah. Also had Xavier Worthy doing really nothing in this game Sunday night. There's one play, yeah. And this is, you know, it's funny. We watched, what game was it? Would have been the second game where Worthy gets targeted in the end zone and doesn't come down with it because he's not going to be a contested catch point guy.
Right.
Mahomes underthrew Worthy on a play where Worthy had the Falcons beat deep and it became a contested catch and it got knocked away. Like, he's not going to win that. So your quarterback's going to have to be sharp to find him when he gets separation. So Worthy did next to nothing. The Chiefs' offense looks a little bit like it has looked in the last 2 years, which is not like a dominant force. They are 3-0. If you watched the Chiefs last night, my guess is, Bills fans, you're thinking, they don't scare me. Right now, they don't look scary. And then maybe that's Kelsey. Maybe that's that Worthy has done little. It's Mahomes and Rice, and Pacheco's hurt. Carson Steele had a good day. So anyway, just random league thoughts.
When's the last time? You know, be a good thought on them because it's amazing they've won the Super Bowl in this stretch. But when they look their most terrifying, the Chiefs, it is when it just looks like you can't stop them. And, like, when's the last time they scored 30 points? How long it's been? The Kansas City Chiefs have not scored 30 points into week 12 of last season. I mean, we're talking like a 10-plus game sample size now where, you know, they're scoring 20 to 27 a bunch, but they're not having that big dominant win, that big dominant game offensively. And the Bills even have, I mean, did they just score 30 back-to-back games? Did they get there against the Cardinals? Maybe they didn't. They did against the Dolphins, I know that. So, I don't know. The Bills could win today, and I feel like a lot of people might want to put them number one in a power ranking, but you can't because the Chiefs are 3-0, right?
Yep.
It feels like it's against the rules or against the law to not put the Chiefs number one.
Bills scored 34 against Arizona.
34 against Arizona, yep. And 30. So they've,
and then 31 in like a half a game.
Okay, so they've in 2 weeks done something the Chiefs have not done in 12 weeks.
Yeah. 30 points.
I don't think I would have the courage to put them above the Chiefs in a power ranking, though, even still.
The numbers are there.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get the job done today. Bills, Jaguars.
Let it be weird.
7:30. Yeah, let's not have a weird one. Let's get a win. 3-0, and then Baltimore and Houston.
That's funny. Another reason. You have two of your toughest games left on the schedule are your next two road games.
And then the Jets, which is a tough one, too.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Observations from yesterday. Thoughts on it and how to avoid a weird one here against Jacksonville. Are you confident? And the question we started today is, which have you been more impressed with, the Bills' offense or the Bills' defense? We're 2 weeks in. They're 2-0. They look to go 3-0 tonight. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
They still got that one timeout left in their back pocket. Dalton taking a shot to the end zone. It is caught. Adam Thielen. Magnificent pass from Dalton.
Andy Dalton. He's back, baby. The Red Rifle, as they call him. Trade Bryce Young today. Right, get out while you can.
I'd like there was a report yesterday that teams were calling them, too.
Yeah, do you believe that? Who? Who's calling? Miami? Miami should.
Miami.
We should try.
I mean, isn't a team that maybe liked him in the pre-draft process calling the Panthers and seeing if they can get him for like a fifth?
Yeah, probably.
Isn't that probably the report, too? It's not the Panthers saying, like, balking at all, we would never trade Bryce Young. It's, no, you got to give us more.
Yep.
You got to give us like a second.
Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. It is the Buffalo Bills Football Monday. We're going to have a Bills Football Tuesday as well because this schedule is all crazy. A 7:30 game and an 8:15 game. Why are we doing the doubleheader on Monday night? Everyone seems to ask that question. What's with the Monday doubleheader?
7:30 is so good, though.
So I like 7:30.
Great time.
I was going to say, I will take that trade-off if the Bills are going to be if they're going to be on Monday night, I'd rather there be another game that pushes them a little bit earlier. No? I don't care if I miss Commanders Bengals.
Well, sure. But I guess the question is league-wide. Why a Monday night doubleheader? It's a standalone window, and yeah. You just decide to throw... Why not a Sunday night doubleheader?
Didn't they try this? Maybe the Bills were involved a couple years ago when they first did this, didn't they?
They've done this a handful of times. It used to be opening weekend is when they did it. And I feel like last year, last couple years, there have indeed been doubleheaders on Monday Night Football.
And don't they try doing the whole double box nonsense like during the broadcast? I think they do that during the Bills game even. I don't know if they'd still do that tonight, but keep an eye on that. There might be a point in the second or third quarter where you can't just watch the Bills on one screen. That they're going one like two boxes in the screen at the same time. We'll see, because I think they've done that in the past.
There are four Monday Night Football doubleheaders this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
They expanded that by a lot.
Next week, there are two games on Monday night.
Okay.
Titans, Dolphins, Seahawks, Lions. On October 21st, in Week 7, it's Ravens, Bucks, and Chargers, Cardinals. In Week 15, Bears, Vikings, and Falcons, Raiders. Four Monday Night Football doubleheaders. So I'm reading from NBC Sports that the NFL's latest media rights agreement increased the number of games airing on ABC and ESPN. More games to air across the season led to the doubleheaders sprinkled throughout. That's why, is that ABC and ESPN wanted more games. And the way to do that was doubleheaders.
So that's the only place they really could put them.
Yeah.
Right? But why would they? Aren't they kind of taken away from themselves
Why do they overlap? Probably because... All right, let's just game this out, Joe. If you started at 5, the West Coast wouldn't see the early game.
Right.
And if you started the second game at 10, the East Coast wouldn't see the late game.
Yeah.
You don't want to stagger this like the NHL with 7 and 10.
Right.
That's too late. Yeah. Okay, now am I doing 6 and 9 or 5 and 8? So you have them overlap a little bit. And you have them overlap by 45 minutes. I wonder if they've done the analytics of... Well, what's the right time to overlap? You know, we talk about this a lot when there's an NHL quadruple header in the playoffs, and they're all in intermission at the same time. That seems you shouldn't do that. So these games won't be at halftime at the same time. They're 45 minutes apart. But it's going to be a regular feature, it feels like, in their new media deal of doubleheaders on Monday Night Football.
They're getting just by the simple math of it, they're getting an extra hour and a half of football than a normal Monday night. That's the other thing, right? They're getting an extra hour and a half of ratings.
And they're doubling their chances of a dramatic game. Because you might have a dog game. Yeah. Last week when the Bills and Dolphins were on Thursday Night Football, that's a dog by the time it's the second half. Like, oh, all right, we're done here. So,
all right, so maybe it's not the worst idea.
I don't think it's a terrible idea. Yeah. It is kind of funny to see them going with the doubleheader at the same time. It's not something we're used to. Usually it's, the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock windows have multiple games going on. Sunday nights alone, Thursday nights alone, Monday nights stand alone. And now it's a stand at 2. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. I was thinking about, we were joking around with, the viral catch counter at training camp.
Mm-hmm.
The rookie receiver report.
Okay.
Want to do that?
Yes.
The rookie receiver report. Going in order. How's it going for each of these rookie receivers?
Okay.
First up, Marvin Harrison Jr. After a 1-catch, 4-yard performance against the Bills.
I think he had another touchdown yesterday.
He did.
Okay.
He did. They lined him up, ran him across the formation, caught a touchdown. And caught a couple others. Like, he had a fine day. Not a great day, but a fine day.
Yeah. 5 for 64 and a touchdown. I think, though, actually, given what his team did, I don't know how he ended, but there was a point in the third quarter where Kyler Murray had 80 yards.
Yeah.
So maybe he actually did pretty well, given his team didn't. Murray did end up with 207.
I watched some of that game, and there were a couple times that his receivers let him down. Trey McBride had a drop.
Yeah.
Harrison had one or two that would have been very tough catches that maybe he could have made.
Mm-hmm.
But Harrison's doing fine.
Yes.
All right, rookie receiver report moves on. Malik Nabers.
Oh, my. I mean...
He's,
holy cow.
He's Beckham. He's putting up the numbers that Beckham did as a rookie.
Yeah.
He's the youngest receiver ever with multiple touchdowns. He's the most targeted receiver in football by a lot.
Yeah.
They're throwing the ball to him all the time. And as a result, they are competitive. Their offense is Malik Nabers.
Yep. He's the number one He's the number one wide receiver in fantasy through three games. By his yardage job. I mean, 37 targets in three games.
They're throwing to him all the time.
He threw a pass yesterday, too, by the way. He was 0 for 1. I don't know how the pass went, but Neighbors, I saw it on the stat line.
Neighbors has the highest team target share of any receiver in the league by more than 5%.
That's crazy. He is, and he's, like, do you see the touchdown he caught yesterday when he's spinning in the air and he comes down with the 2 feet down and there are plays where he's getting the ball like on a jet sweep? Like, he looks so fast. Like, it looks like he moves like Tyreek Hill, but he's 6'3". Yeah, it looks like he shouldn't move that fast.
He looks like a top 10 receiver in the league already.
Yeah, he looks unbelievable.
Number three on the rookie receiver report is Rome Odunze, who had his first big game yesterday.
Yep.
112, huge. 6 for 112 and a touchdown. Odunze has his first kind of, hey, he's on the scene moment.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Did you see his celebration, by the way, with that touchdown?
I did not see his celebration.
It was like a... he ran towards like Caleb Williams and like kind of pretended to run away from him. Like, no, I get to keep the ball. Like, kind of celebration. Because think about it. I think it was both of their first touchdown.
All right,
I don't think Williams had one.
Cut it in half.
Cut the ball in half. Slice it down the middle. Yeah.
Next up, Brian Thomas Jr., who we will see tonight with the Jaguars. He's been fine. He's a regular feature of their offense. Had a touchdown in Cleveland. You know, his numbers have not been eye-popping, but he's been pretty good for them.
Yep.
After Brian Thomas Jr. comes, Xavier Worthy, who had his biggest day on opening day with two touchdowns, has not been crazy.
There's not a lot of volume.
Nope.
Right? It really is gadgety stuff, and he's not really a regular part yet.
He's averaging a target per quarter.
A target per quarter?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Like, look up his targets. We just mentioned Neighbors got 14 in the game against the Browns. I think Worthy doesn't have 14 on the year.
Okay.
After him, Ricky Pearsall. He got shot and is unavailable at this point. So, like, we'll give him an incomplete kind of grade. Not making light of that. That's just he hasn't played. Xavier Leggett. Well, he'd been stuck with Bryce Young for a while. He's got 6 catches, 77 yards, no touchdowns.
All right. So not really going yet.
That seems to be if we remove Ricky Pearsall, that's where we are for the rookie receivers. Because Leggett, 6 for 77, no touchdowns. Keon Coleman, 4 for 51, no touchdowns. Right? Like, it's a little bit of a drop off, at least in the early production. You've got a Jalen McMillan who's doing some things. Jalen Polk's doing some things. Ladd McConkey. How's he doing? McConkey's been a part of that offense.
He's been fine.
Yeah, fine.
39, 26, and 44 are his receiving yardages so far.
So right now, it sure looks like the big three look like the big three in this rookie class. That's early on. A lot of times, that might be what gets you drafted earliest is who's the most ready. Hey, I'll take a guy that can play today.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe Coleman today gets a little bit more of a look. He's played 2 games. He was a really important part of their win against Arizona. They might not win the game without him. I mean, he was their leading target getter, their leading receiver in both catches and yards. So he was important in that game, and then they didn't really need him in the game against Miami. So tonight, Jacksonville. And they might need him.
I'm still trying to figure out like what types of plays he's going to really be consistent on, right? Like, because that if he's going to be a regular target getter in the offense— they can't all be his. Most of his production on the year, it's 2 games, is a kind of post up, right? It's a deep post up where he just kind of has the body position and doesn't even have to go up for it. It just kind of falls into him because he's done such a good job of positioning. That's not, though, a regular pass. That's not a regular target that you're going to get every game or even every third game. So those crossing patterns for him. Have they thrown him a screen yet?
Like, no.
A play like that?
That's something I think could happen tonight.
Like, to me, those are the plays that he will probably be best at. And so far, that's not going to him. But again, this is kind of where, like, I wonder where he'll stand out. Because I think there is a lot of overlap in the Bills receiving. And so far, the guys that are sitting down in the soft zone, the guys that are eating over the middle of the field... like that's occupied. That's right now it's Shakir. Kincaid can't even get a living out there because so far it's been Shakir. So to me it's gotta be more it's got to, I don't know if you're going to get a lot of targets and a lot of catches, though, per game. Like, I think what you're seeing from Coleman is he's going to be a good blocker for them. He's going to play a lot of snaps. He's going to catch a jump ball here and there. He's going to, the contested catch. But, you know, I might not guess more than 2-3 catches in a game tonight against the Jaguars for him.
The question is, how much are they going to pass it, period?
To begin with.
Will they be able to run it against Jacksonville?
Well, it depends how much the Jaguars are also going to push them, right?
Right.
Miami didn't push them at all. I mean, are the Jaguars capable of making it a one-score game in the fourth quarter? I don't need them to. I don't want them to. But if they do, that's when you really see who Allen is looking to when in those critical moments.
And so far, that's been Shakir.
Absolutely. By far, yep. Yeah.
For the better part of the last 8 games, he's been looking at Shakir in those spots. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The Jags... Can the Bills run the ball the way they want to? They have been very run-heavy. And tonight, maybe another dose of that. They are the number one team in EPA when they pass. When they drop back.
When they drop back, yeah.
Drop back. I like differentiating between run-pass into drop-back.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's scrambles, I'm not saying they should go on the passing stats, but they go on the drop-back stats.
Right.
And that... To me, that's where they belong, you know? You have an opportunity for more big plays.
Right. If I want to see how often the Bills are running it, I don't want Allen having 80 scrambles that are counting towards, oh, they chose to run on this play.
Yeah,
like, no, they didn't. The pass didn't work.
That's what's inflating a lot of rushing stats this year, which, you know, if the Bills do that, that's great. Scramble percentage league-wide, highest it's ever been. That could be a feature of athletic quarterbacks. That could be a feature of young quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, you know, but highest it's ever been, scramble percentage. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, get a call in. Sal checks in as well. Mike, stick with us. You're up right on the other side here on WGR on a Football Monday.
The game changes, the game in some ways stays the same, and it's an evolution. It seems like the game is always moving and trending, and so you're trying to stay out in front of it as best you can, and whether that's how you build your roster or how you scheme your playbook in all three phases or what have you. So I think that's part of the challenge and what makes it such a chess game year to year and week to week.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, a slice of audio here on Football Monday, and that's brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Jeremy and Joe on a Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We'll get a couple calls in here. Sal's going to join us top of the hour as we get ready for Monday Night Football tonight. If you go to the stadium, get ready to be blown away how much it continues to go up. Feet by the minute, it seems. Like it's a stadium now. They tweeted out a video, not quite a fly-through, but a video at night, and it looked pretty great. So anyway, 803-0550. Mike in Pennsylvania, quick. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy game day. Happy 7:30 game day, by the way. That's great. That's fantastic.
Sir.
But you know, the thing with the Bills, and I know it's not the sexy thing, is the ground and pound and running, using the running backs to, you know, on the offense a lot. Like, Cook is good. I'd like to see them get more Ray Davis involved, along with, obviously, they want to get Kincaid, but even Knox involved. I think they're set up to pound teams and control the clock and control the game. And on both sides of the ball, the defensive line is fantastic and the offensive line is fantastic. So I'd be happy if we just controlled the clock and got our running backs, involved and maybe some way found a way to get Kincaid involved. But I'm liking the new approach, where Josh Allen is not the Superman, and we got weapons and control we can dictate the tempo of the game.
Thanks, Mike.
To me, what that sounds like a lot of is playing with the lead, right? And, hey, I don't really want to see yet them have to get into a shootout, because that would mean if they're running the ball like that, they're probably ahead.
Yeah, there's a part of this that's none of this is going to matter until the postseason. Can they play
also that? Yeah.
Which, not to dispute like what Mike's saying, but you're talking about, can they win in a shootout? Can they win when things go south? What they did against Arizona, they started passing the ball and they took the lead. Defense came into form. They were fine.
Yep.
They're the number one team in drop back EPA. Number one. Handoff to, you want more handoffs to Ray Davis? Okay, I think the Jaguars would like you to do that. I'm going to still live over here with, you're the best passing it. You're the best passer. Okay, let's get other people involved. All right. It's a good way to keep games close, which the Bills used to not do. But it's working so far. Sal, coming up on the other side, it's a Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR.